This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Talk about NFL do or die off seasons. Welcome to the show. It is the Maggie and Perloff show. Perloff on vacation in Costa Rica. So EJ Stewart, the EP, slides over. Manny producing, Alex on the board. Pat Boyle will be in a moment. So glad to have you today. So we've been talking about these do or die off seasons, EJ, for the NFL. And there's a couple teams out there where it just feels like, to borrow from one of the nerd, you know, kind of lexicons, like a high variance. Either things go really right for you and you are literally in the Super Bowl, or things go wrong and you're in last place. And you and I have been talking about it this morning. My pick for this is the San Francisco 49ers, who literally were in last place last year. And the shadow and cloud of not just losing the Super Bowl in overtime to the Chiefs, but then everything that went horribly in the offseason. They've got to avoid that at all costs. And of all the contract negotiations that they've done over the last couple of years that have dragged out and dragged out, now they've got the quarterback on their plate. And honestly, how do you find the right deal for Brock Purdy? Like, this is not this is not an easy needle to thread, because Brock will say, I've been to Super Bowl, multiple NFC championship games. Obviously, I deserve to be paid in the top five, at least, where the 49ers could say, listen, we invented you in a lot of ways, Mr. Irrelevant, and we put you into one of the most perfect places to succeed. Good luck out there on some other team trying to duplicate the kind of success that we've given you.
I think with the 49ers, the question becomes, was their do or die offseason last season? Like, they are at a big decision with Brock Purdy, but I mean, what quarterback just doesn't just get the money? Like, you know, we thought Tua would have been a conversation. We thought Dak Prescott would have been a conversation. At the end of the day, the guys just kind of get their money and we move on. So I feel like maybe this is a team that is already dead. Like, this, when we think do or die, I think you think about the concept of, this is the situation where we're at the fork in the road of what this team is going to be. Maybe they drove that fork right off the cliff last year, finishing in last place, and maybe this is a team already in decline. I think, to me, when I think about a team who could maybe be in a situation where are they in decline or are they able to get back, that's why I thought about the Bengals, just because the literal nucleus of their team is not under contract or is under some massive contract dispute. You got Chase, you got Higgins, a big part of their identity with those two receivers in their passing game, and then your best defensive player on what was the worst defense. If things go bad, it feels like you could talk about the Bengals drafting in top five next year.
Yep.
If Higgins is gone, Chase is so frustrated that he doesn't take part in training camp or he misses games, and if Hendrickson's gone and they can't improve that defense, then you can really see the bottom fall out. But we've seen this nucleus, which is still young, not guys over the hill like some of those guys in San Francisco, like a Deebo Samuel. You know, Fred Warner is a great player, but getting a little older. Trent Williams, obviously a lot older. These are guys in their prime.
Christian McCaffrey.
Right. Christian McCaffrey, guy injury prone, older. If they can't keep this nucleus together in Cincinnati, it's good night. And I think you are start to wonder, what is Joe Burrow's clock and how patient will he be in the Bengals 2.0?
855-212-4227. You guys came up with some really, really good responses. Who's got do or die off seasons in front of them? Seeing Green Bay, seeing a little Baltimore, and Buffalo. I mean, we're talking about now teams just with super high expectations.
Yeah.
Also, the Las Vegas Raiders was one that made it onto the list, which is, yeah, listen, Tom Brady, Pete Carroll, they want to microwave this thing,
yeah.
And I'm not sure if they're going to be able to. They have a lot of tough decisions to make, including number one, and far and away number one, what do you do at quarterback? Okay, it is Wednesday, which means it's time for The Great Debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, we're excited about this one. You know that we take this like loosely from the news. This one's a little more on the nose with the news.
Yeah.
So obviously the NBA All-Star game didn't exactly go over like gangbusters. And even Kevin Durant said, listen, if you guys just want to complain about it, why don't we just stop doing it? Gave us an idea. Today we're asking, what is the sports tradition that needs to be retired? The sports tradition that needs to be retired. Would you like me to start it off?
Go ahead, EJ. I'll start it off. Because I love this because at the end of the day, we all love to complain about things when it comes to sports. That's one thing Kevin Durant got right in that ridiculous comment he made. We do like to complain.
Yeah. And made a living out of it.
Yes. And one of the things that I constantly complain about is this facade we create about college sports being amateurism. This idea that it's somehow there's more integrity that we should withhold or uphold than in the professionals, even though we've gone so past amateurism in college basketball, particularly. Which brings me to the handshake line. What are we doing? I mean, the amount of incidents we've had over the last few years where you have intense games, guys are heated, and then the best thing you want to do when prime athletes who are all big, strong, and muscled up and all over testosterone after a big thing is to have them walk right up to each other and hug and shake hands after they've been throwing elbows and knees at each other for 40 minutes. And we've seen incidents get out of hand with not just players, with coaches.
Oh, yeah. Howard and Guard are not happy right now. As the two of them continue to have words, we told you Juwan Howard was not happy about that timeout. Yo! And Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison.
Under the March Madness music is what really makes it. It wasn't a March Madness game, but it was close enough.
Well, CBS is trying to just get to the next game, so they're playing the music out like this is going to be the end of the game. But sure enough, the game was over, but fight night began in Madison because you got Juwan Howard, former Michigan head coach, member of the Fab Five, so frustrated over something that happened at the end of the game that now he is exchanging words with the Wisconsin head coach. He's at a right hand. He didn't punch him, but he mushes some other Wisconsin coach in the face. Players get involved. Now punches are being thrown amongst the players. Tackling's happening. Just be done with it. We can have sportsmanship and not have a handshake line. We watch the NFL. We watch the NBA. If guys want to shake hands after the game, they shake hands after the game. The guys that are too angry or too frustrated or sore losers or for whatever reason, they don't want to deal with the other team, they just go to the locker room.
Yeah.
We don't have these incidents in pro basketball. Why are we having these incidents in college basketball? We're supposed to be teaching these kids to have integrity and to make the right decision. Don't put them in a position where they could make the wrong decision. And we're seeing now not just players but coaches taking things too far. Get rid of the handshake line in college basketball.
Okay, our great debate today is which sports tradition needs to be retired. EJ hates sportsmanship. He says the handshake line needs to go the way of the dodo bird. All right, Manny, what do you got? Sports tradition that needs to be retired. Go ahead.
I don't know about you guys, but when I go to a sporting event, I'm just really there to watch my basketball, watch my baseball, whatever the case may be. I really, really don't need to see random people kissing each other. Alex?
Kiss cam! Oh, that wasn't even a kiss. How about a smooch? Look at that. Oh, I know those people. Well, she's like, no way. He's like, look at him. He's leaning away.
Listen,
And then she was like, and then he was like.
Look, I don't need to see you guys kissing. I don't need to. I'm not a big fan of PDA. Whenever I see people with the public display of affection, I kind of just turn the other way because it's so cringe. Plus, you got the PA announcer trying to egg them on. It's just all so gross and cringe and incredibly weird to me. Let's get rid of the kiss cams. Let's keep the karaoke cam. Let's keep the dance cam. But the kiss cam, get that out of here. That stuff is gross.
Sounds like a sad single guy.
I was gonna say, Lonely Hearts Club Manny doesn't want the kiss cam.
Chug the beer cam. Let's do that. That's a camera I'll participate in.
Yeah, everyone does love the chug the beer cam.
Except mine is whiskey.
This is like newer tradition. I feel like the kiss cam came along. Oh, geez, I think I was in college, so it was just a little longer.
So what was that, the 60s?
Wow.
Manny.
Bang. Bang.
At least I go to the game with someone I can kiss.
Oh, got him.
Manny, same team, man. All right.
That was awesome, by the way.
The kiss cam, I think, is kind of funny, actually. But is it a tradition that needs to be retired? That's our great debate today. Alex, go ahead. What do you got?
As a Yankee fan.
Go Bombers.
We just need to get rid of the whole facial hair. I mean, like, I guess mustaches count for some reason. We need to get rid of the whole no beard Yankee policy. Here's what Hal Steinbrenner talks about it.
It's just unique, you know. They come here and they're like proud that they shaved their beard and got a haircut. I mean, I just you don't hear any complaints at all. So it's just not something I thought about. It was important to my dad, without a doubt. And I think it's important to the organization, and you know, everybody's always on board with it. That's a good thing.
That was the Yes Network, and players just lose aura without their without their facial hair. I swear, like, they just like lose superpowers. I guess I don't know. It's just a dumb rule.
I'm telling you, Devin Williams, man, freshly shaved Devin Williams.
Yeah,
looks sad now.
I mean, it feels very antiquated. We're talking about sports traditions that need to be retired. The Yankees' ban on facial hair does not seem like it's of the time. It's weird seeing these guys without beards sometimes.
Remember when you first saw Johnny Damon completely clean shaven? Did that give you the creeps a little bit?
All right, Pat, go ahead.
It actually made me happy because he looked like a caveman when he was Boston.
That's when he was awesome, though.
What is the sports tradition that needs to be retired?
Cutting off throws for Manny Ramirez.
The dumbest thing, and I apologize to any of you guys if you do like this. I'm like, sorry, not sorry, because I think it's the geekiest, nerdiest, narpiest thing you could do at a sporting event, especially at a baseball game, the wave. Like, just tell me that you don't actually like sports without telling me you don't like sports. Tell me you're just there for the picture on Instagram without telling me. People who participate and, like, actively want to do the wave. There is no worse thing in sports than that, especially at a baseball game. Like, and then when they show it on camera and they're doing the wave and they show it, it's no offense to you guys. It's normally a lot of Mets fans.
Oh, yeah.
When I watch Mets games, it's like the wave happens every game. Ooh, it's my turn to stand up and be excited. Ooh, let me wave my hands. Screw you.
The wave,
I don't have a clip for you. It doesn't deserve a clip.
The popular crowd participation phenomenon at sporting events has an intriguing history that dates back to the early 1980s. This synchronized movement, where spectators stand up and sit down in sequence to create a rippling effect across the stadium, has become a staple of fan engagement worldwide.
What is this, a how-to?
Yeah, thanks. I didn't give them a clip, so thank you, Alex or Manny, whoever queued that up. But
how do you get the wave for radio?
Well, also, why do you have to explain the wave? I think we get it. Now, the wave is a form of protest, like, hey, this game sucks, I'm bored. But you're right, the wave should be retired.
I didn't know that.
That's what I always thought it was.
Well, I feel like it normally does happen during boring games.
Right.
It's like, oh, this game sucks. Let's do the wave.
Let's do something else.
What I've been seeing, unfortunately, and you're right to crush Mets fans, and I'm not sure if there are other or stadiums in that are having these issues. I've been at Mets games that are competitive, and they're doing the wave.
Yes.
Late in games.
Yeah,
I mean,
silly.
We've been terrible here in Queens with this. It's a good one. It bothers me. And then everyone looks at me like I'm crazy for not participating.
Well, I mean, you guys could also lighten up, but here's the thing. I'm talking about the tradition in sports that needs to be retired, and this is off of Kevin Durant saying, if you guys don't like the NBA All-Star Game, then let's just get rid of the NBA All-Star Game. So we thought, what else could we get rid of while we're talking about it? For me, I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, maybe literally. It's time to get rid of live mascots, guys. I know that this can be steeped in college football and college basketball tradition, but I think we're past the point when you have things that happen like the 2018 Sugar Bowl between Texas and Georgia. Well, it almost got tragic.
This is like a man walking on the moon. Never before.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
Bevo.
Oh,
yeah, that's Bevo, obviously, for Longhorns going after Uga 10. The Georgia Bulldog mascot almost had a fatality there, and these two guys are calling it like it's a UFC event. It's like human, no, it's not human, it's animal life, guys. And so, first of all, the welfare of the animal. I mean, I think we can, you know, exploiting animals like this for human enjoyment. But then on the real reason, but not just that, which is true, you have so many other great alternatives. Sure. We don't actually need a live animal to be a great mascot. The Philly Fanatic, the Oregon Duck, Bucky the Badger, Sparty. I could go on and on and on.
Sebastian the Ibis.
You don't need to actually have a freaking bird there, okay? We can just dress up like a bird. People love a Stanford tree. You know, we like what we like. So let's put the Bulldogs and the Bevos and all of these live mascots, let's let them just do what they naturally would do, which is not attend a sporting event with 100,000 people and fireworks. There you go. Those are the sports traditions that we think need to be retired.
By the way, I love how Uga 10, like it's like King Henry VIII. Uga X.
Long lineage. Yeah. I mean, they got to be retired because they go through them fast.
Yeah. And also, I feel bad for the dogs whose hearing is ultra sensitive and you got 100,000 people screaming.
I know. It's just, it's not right. It's not their natural habitat, guys.
I mean, you guys say that, but have you followed Butler Blue on Instagram? It is the cutest.
I'm sure he's got a good
best
life.
Instagram page ever. The idea that they would retire Butler Blue, just, it breaks my heart immediately.
Okay, like, but here's
I almost
the thing.
Can't do the show anymore thinking that there's no more Butler Blue
EJ,
in Maggie's world.
Suck it up, because here's the thing. It's one thing to have a dog. It's nothing to have a tiger from LSU in a freaking cage, you know? Let's retire the live mascots. Okay, so there you go. What is the sports tradition that needs to be retired? Go around the horn quick. EJ says handshake lines. Manny said
kiss cam.
Alex said Yankees facial hair ban. Pat, you said the wave, and I said live animal mascots. So tell us what we missed. Which sports tradition needs to be permanently put to sleep? Back in a minute. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart in for Perloff this week as he's on vacation. And I know Perloff in Costa Rica somewhere is dying because he would have wanted to be part of this great debate because so many things annoy him about sports.
Sure.
But our great debate, which we do every Wednesday, loosely based on the news, is which sports tradition do you want to ban permanently? So go around the horn here. EJ said the handshake line. Manny said the kiss cam. Alex said the Yankees ban on facial hair. Pat Boyle said the wave. And I said live animal mascots. Now we turn it over to you at 855-212-4227. Dan's in Buffalo. Dan, which sports tradition needs to be retired?
Hi, Maggie. You're not really going to like this one. This is Dan up in Buffalo. Hey, I'm thinking that the Buffalo Bills need to retire jumping through tables. I work at Lifetime. We make tables every year, and there's always a surplus in tables being made around the football season because, you know, we got these Bills Mafia just jumping through tables, and it's breaking my back, and I feel like, you know, if they don't retire that, I might have to retire myself soon enough.
Dan, you know, here's
it
where...
It ain't funny.
Listen, people get really hurt, and if they can even remember that they actually jumped through the table, and thank you for that, because I think a lot of people are probably blackout drunk.
Yeah.
But here's where I would be in favor of banning the Bills Mafia table breaking or whatever.
Yep.
It's not working. I think all traditions that have not directly impacted winning deserve to be up for discussion.
Definitely.
They started doing this thing maybe 20 years ago, maybe less, 15,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the team was horrible when they started doing this. There was really nothing going on. And the team hasn't won yet, so it's not exactly a lucky tradition. So I think it's up for the committee.
Yeah, it's it's kind of a silly tradition when you think about it, because it comes from professional wrestling, where we throw people through tables all the time. When you get hit through and thrown through a table in wrestling, you are usually in a bad position. You're usually losing.
Right.
The idea that the Bills fans are throwing themselves into tables makes me feel like they don't quite get the gag.
Yeah, it's not winner's behavior.
No. Yeah. You don't want to be thrown through a table as you're a wrestler. You're probably a jobber or a loser. And the Bills fans seem to take that with a badge of honor. I don't quite get it.
Yeah, I again, like, if it's not working, well, are we helping the team or are we hurting the team with these traditions? Adam is in Vancouver. Adam, which tradition needs to be retired permanently in sports?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're good.
First off, I want to take a second to apologize to all the Americans on behalf of my fellow Canadians for booing your national anthem last week. That was very un-Canadian of us, and it shouldn't have been done. So,
listen, on behalf of all Americans, we accept your apology, but we kind of understand, Adam, there's bigger forces at work here in terms of the geopolitics, and it's sports, you know. We kind of get it.
It's true. But either way, just wanted to, as a proud Canadian, you know, I'm sorry. But this one's going to be a little controversial. I think we should do away with anthems before the games altogether. You're not representing your country in a NHL game, NFL game, NBA, baseball, whatever. You're representing your country when you're playing, when you're in the Olympics or playing
a World Cup,
World Championship.
Yep.
So at the big four sports, soccer even, they just do away with the anthems altogether and just leave it for when you're representing your team on the world stage.
You know, Adam, so it's definitely something we've heard before, and thank you, and enjoy Four Nations face-off tomorrow, which is going to be interesting, and I'm wondering in Boston who's going to be booing what and whose anthem. Oh. I don't know. But anyway, you know, to be honest, most networks don't televise it anymore unless it's like the Super Bowl or something that's happened maybe after a national tragedy or something like that. I kind of like the idea of reserving it for when you are competing for your country.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, could we, you know, listen, the UFC doesn't play them anymore. I remember talking to Dana White about this a couple years ago. Just, they said it was a time issue, but they also, it's just, you know, I don't think anyone's ever said, man, I went to a UFC fight. I couldn't believe they didn't play the national anthem. So other sports don't do it.
Yeah. I think that to be honest, it feels like things involving the national anthem in sporting events, we only talk about it if it's something negative.
Controversial,
if someone's being booed or there's a protest or if it's something with a person doing a terrible job singing the national anthem. In some ways, I want to keep it just for that. Just so we can get another Carl Lewis or something like that. Because those moments are kind of funny. But otherwise, it's really, usually it's just like, there's no more Whitney Houston's.
Yeah, right.
It's like, it's done and then we move on.
It's like Roseanne Barr, I think, had another terrible one. I was thinking about that as one of the sports traditions that needs to be retired permanently. I was thinking about saying ceremonial first pitches. Maybe for the World Series or whatever, I could understand it. But for like, you have 162 games, we're watching 162, you know, ceremonial first pitches or whatever. But some of them are so bad.
And the
I kind of want to keep like the 50 cents and the Baba Booey's and the ones that are just so god awful. So in some ways, keep them alive just for the humor.
And I think both of those things kind of have another issue that they share, which is how many famous people can you get to throw a pitch out or do a national anthem? I mean, I go to games and they're like, here's this Grammy nominated person. I'm like, oh, I'm interested. And it's someone that no one in the crowd has ever heard of.
Nope.
Or it's like, here's just someone from a local choir. And I'm like, that's nice, but like, do we really need to have this? Like, we can't just get the game going? Like, you know, if you got Beyonce or you got Taylor Swift or Adele, all right, yeah, we'll be seated for that. I don't know about, you know, just some random person.
We're talking about sports traditions that we think need to be retired. Eric's in Colorado Springs has an interesting one. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I'm kind of done with the Gatorade shower. I think that could have ended about 50 years ago.
Interesting. Mm. What do you not like about it?
I don't know. It's just stupid and contrived, and you know it's coming. If you're going to win, you know, if the game is not in doubt anymore, whatever, in the last minute or so, I'm just tired of it.
You know, Eric, it's a good one because don't you notice that we're getting a little fast and loose with the rules on the Gatorade bath? Mm-hmm. Sometimes coaches will get it for their first win. Yeah. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Or you'll get it maybe for like a first playoff win or something. Like
clinching a division.
Super Bowl or nothing. That's another one. I know if Perloff was here, he would say celebrating after you clinch everything in baseball.
Yep.
Clinch the playoffs. Clinch a wild card. Clinch the division. Clinch the championship.
Champagne for everybody.
Yeah, right. It's just a reason to pour beer all over each other. Mike's in Syracuse. Mike, the sports tradition that needs to be retired is what?
Well, it's 2025. Can we give baseball managers and coaches a little respect and stop dressing them up like five-year-olds? They're not going to get into the game. Let them wear comfortable clothing.
I think the uniform is comfortable. I think more comfortable than like a suit or something like that. But yeah, the silliest ones were always like the Tommy Lasordas,
yeah,
and the Jack McKeons. Like these guys are 80.
Yeah.
To be in a baseball uniform is beyond silly. Mike, good call. That's a good one.
No, that was one of the, if we were doing a major tournament, I think that'd be a very high seed because I think everyone looks at this and says, what are we doing? Like I loved it when Terry Francona for those years when Boston, he started wearing the pullover,
mm-hmm,
and it almost kind of looked like he wasn't in a uniform. And then the umpires then started checking his uniform, became a whole issue, and he always had his jersey underneath. But I was like, he looks way better, like, just wearing a Red Sox pullover. He could have been wearing sweatpants with that, and he would look kind of fly. Like, what are we – why are they wearing uniforms? It's so ridiculous.
Now, can I tell you a tradition that I'm sad went by the wayside, and it happened during the pandemic? I actually liked when basketball coaches wore suits.
I do, too.
They don't do that anymore. They wear – everyone on the staff wears the same thing. It's like a quarter zip and, like, some pants, some swishy pants or whatever. The athleisure. I liked when you saw – you know, the Pat Rileys,
yeah,
and, you know,
Jay Wright.
Jay Wright with the suits, the $5,000
suit. Patino still wears a suit.
Yeah.
Mad Dog loves that. And, you know, it's a guy who's a suit. That's why he's a good coach.
He's got a couple other things going for him, too. But I liked when basketball coaches wore suits. Now they just look like they're rebounding for Giannis or something.
Yeah, Mick Cronin does it as well. There's some Patinoites that still do it because they're taking it from Patino. Yeah, I missed that. I think that added to the cool level of NBA and college coaches. Like Chuck Daly was cool because,
yeah,
he's wearing these awesome suits with the hair and the jewelry. Like they were iced out. Like now you just throw, you know, Tom Thibodeau in a pullover. It's like, put on a suit.
It looks
peak
like practice.
Male athlete.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau. Yeah, exactly.
And a model too.
Manny likes his hairline. Russ is in California. Russ.
I think they should stop the player post-game conferences for probably two, maybe three reasons. One, losing side. I'm sure that most of them do not want to speak to reporters after a loss.
Yeah.
Two, most of them are like half naked. They don't want to be there with cameras pointing at them. And then three, especially like basketball, you're got a back-to-back the next day. The next day, you got to go, and then you –
yeah, just want to get out of there.
You want to do, yeah, exactly.
So, Russ, you're talking about, we're talking about sports traditions that need to be retired. You're talking about the post-game interviews, not the one on the court, like afterwards in the locker room or at the podium.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you got player post-games, too, on the field and on the court, whatever, and then, you know, also in the locker room. You know, just overall, the post-game interviews and comments.
You know, Russ, I think what they're doing, it's a good one. We're asking, again, sports traditions that need to be retired. I think that the networks or the leagues or something think that this equals the type of access that,
sure,
we want to see. It's like, oh, if we interview Greg Popovich after the first quarter, this is going to be good. It's like, well, he doesn't want to say anything. He doesn't want to be here,
yeah,
and he's going to make it abundantly clear how stupid he thinks this whole thing,
yeah,
is, which in itself, I guess, creates like a viral moment. But it doesn't, because they don't say anything, it doesn't mean anything.
I guess in
access
some ways.
Access for access' sake.
Yeah, I guess in some ways, I kind of go back, though, to the anthem example where maybe 95% of the time the coaches and players know to not give anything. But then you'll have the post-game blowout. You'll have
Richard Sherman.
Playoffs!
Yeah.
You'll have one of those where it's like, if we get rid of it.
You're talking about practice.
You don't have those moments. There,
yeah,
are going to be guys who are going to crack because of the pressure. And maybe that's the reason to get rid of it. I kind of get that point. But I think that there are moments in games where something big happens and you do want to hear something. Like, I can't imagine, I know J.R. Smith, I guess, didn't talk, but LeBron talked. Like, when J.R. Smith doesn't know the score of an NBA Finals game and they lose because he's running the wrong way.
Yeah.
That moment of LeBron having to answer for what happened in the huddle, him walking off.
I have dementia.
and walked off.
I think Gareth Smith had ganja.
I think that those are that is kind of important. Like maybe for most of the time you don't need it, but there are moments where I do think that that press conference you do get stuff.
Yeah, it's like accountability.
Exactly.
All right, so we're asking you for sports traditions that should be retired. Pat Boyle has headlines for us. What's up?
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, but I know we were a little strapped for time, so I know, Maggie, you wanted to get to Dodgers pitcher Dustin May.
I did.
Who, by the way, I mean, when we talk about Joel Embiid and all these other guys that can't stay on the field, Dustin May has pitched in 20 games in 4 years. I mean, oh, this guy is never...
Is that bad?
Never healthy. He's just... Yeah. Yeah, it's bad, Manny. So, last year, he had flexor tendon and Tommy John surgery. It's like his third elbow surgery in the last 5 years. And he was rehabbing at the Dodgers' Camelback Ranch facility in Arizona. He went out to dinner. This is in July of last year. He got a piece of lettuce stuck in his throat. It caused a serious tear in his esophagus.
What?
He had to get emergency surgery and basically could have died if he didn't get the emergency surgery that night. And he was told he could not lift weights heavier than 10 pounds
oh my God.
For 6 months.
What?
Wait, hold on.
This is why I always get no lettuce on my burgers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Alex,
and
you're
on
just
my
looking
salad
out.
Too.
That's the reason why.
Here's the thing. It's not because he was choking. The lettuce wasn't caught in his throat and his airways were blocked. That's obviously very serious. Yeah. That could happen with anything. This is it sliced his esophagus. What type of razor lettuce are you eating? Is it just chewed
romaine.
Up glass?
Like, eating adamantium? Like, what was going on?
So here we go. He said, it was definitely a life-altering event. It was definitely very serious. It's not a very common surgery. It was definitely an emergency. I probably wouldn't have made it through the night if I didn't have it. So he said he took one bite of his salad. He felt lettuce stuck in his throat, tried to wash it down with water, and then he recounted feeling a mega painful sensation in his throat and stomach for 15 minutes. And then he said it went away. He returned home thinking he would be okay. And his wife encouraged him to go to the ER to get checked out. And then the doctor said, you need a full abdominal surgery. You have a tear in your esophagus.
That's insane.
A highly uncommon food impaction, which perforated his esophagus tube.
I just think the fact that it's lettuce, it's like one thing if maybe you accidentally swallowed like a fish bone or something like
glass,
that.
Glass, maybe.
Yeah, somehow glass finds its way into your food or someone's sabotaging it.
Piece of lettuce.
But yeah, remember when we were kids, guys?
No.
Manny, don't start. But there was like a thing about someone like was putting razor blades in the Halloween candy or whatever. It's
did
somebody put a razor blade in Dustin May's Caesar salad?
Oh my God.
That's insane.
Somebody must have took his under. And games appear. The game's appearances was 5.5.
Yeah, Ohtani's interpreter's back. Really could buy a dub.
Yeah, I have an offshore bet I'd like to make. Dustin May under 5.5 games pitched in this year.
I was going to say over a half life-threatening abdominal surgeries that needs to happen.
I mean, Dustin May's never beaten these allegations now.
He's a jinx. I hate to say that, but I think about one of my favorite shows growing up, the cartoon Hey Arnold. There was a character named Eugene who ironically had fluffy red hair like Dustin May, and he was just a jinx. He just stepped on, banana peels and stepped through subway gates, and he always kept getting injured. Like, that is Dustin May's reality.
Okay, but, even if you are an injury-prone athlete, to have this life-threatening thing happen, again, off of piece of lettuce. Like, I can't even... There's got to be a more dignified food that you can cause something like this. A filet.
If I'm going out, eating a 32-ounce porterhouse steak.
God bless.
Not a freaking Caesar salad.
It can't be the salad.
That's
like,
pathetic.
That's the indignity of the whole thing. Like, even bacon, pancakes, like something. Just... lettuce.
I know one thing. He's never eaten salads and vegetables again. This is going to be his excuse to put on 30 pounds and be like, I'm only hammering steaks.
Maybe we'll keep
him
healthier.
I'm only hammering lobster.
I would say he should never step out of the house again because he'll get hurt slipping on a step or something. He can't do anything.
Well,
can't even
eat
a salad without getting hurt.
Yeah, break
your mother's
back.
Esophagus.
Here's the thing about the lobster, though. I don't even think you can have anything with a shell. Like, are just totally...
No shrimp?
No shrimp, no crawfish.
Put him in a bubble. Make him bubble boy.
I mean, what
a
even
movie.
What even type of lettuce? There is something I think called razor lettuce, but it's
kale,
not like that.
Little
kale,
spring mix.
Kale's a little tough.
Kale is tough.
Kale's tough, but like
that
generally on the
guess.
Way out.
me see. The LA,
not the way in.
This is a bad job by the journalists over there. Why didn't they follow up with what type of salad?
Yeah, the LA Times did the article. I'm trying to read it now.
Okay, what type of...
the journalists. Who wrote this?
I think it was probably...
Jack Harris.
Damn it, Jack.
I think we're going like a pear gorgonzola something. I don't know.
I think it's kale.
I really only know two different types of lettuce, and that's romaine and spring. All these other
words. You ever heard of iceberg?
Arugula? Oh, that one, yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
Arugula? Spinach?
Arugula.
Yeah.
Could have been an arugula salad. Although it's not very, like, filling.
What, do you live under a rock, Manny?
A little bit, yeah.
Manny's sophisticated tastes are the chicken fingers and french fries at the Rose Hill Gym.
It's bulking season.
Yeah.
We're not eating salads right now.
When's the cut start, Manny?
Never.
10, 20
it's
years
only now. A bulk cycle. We bulk never season. Get the cut.
It's 12 months. But, oh, year. When's your cut? No, never. When's your bulk end? Maybe next year.
All right. Got time for one more little one?
Yes. So let's see.
You're out of time. Thank you, Pat.
Did you guys see the video of the altercation between Pat Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker?
We did, and yes. We talked about it, about how fake it looked.
And it is fake.
It is fake, yeah. And I thought fake the news. Reason that we found out it was fake, not just because of how freaking obvious it was, but also how sad, because if I'm getting this right, if Patrick Mahomes Sr., had gotten into a fight, it could violate his parole.
Yeah, so he's currently on probation after a third DWI.
Yeah.
And this fight that he third. Was going to set up with... Because right after that happened, literally like a day later, it's like Dave Portnoy, rough and rowdy, Pat yeah. Mahomes Sr. versus John Rocker. It was like, that was quick. Like that. I know the internet works fast, but this is literally like 12 hours later. You guys have a barstool fight set up? So how did that happen? So... They had that set up in the works. Apparently, a contract was signed on January 17th. So that was 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks before this quote-unquote altercation. And if they went through with the fight, it would have most likely violated the terms of his limited freedom on his probation. So Mahomes Sr. via TMZ told a court last week the fight was a stage promotion for an April boxing match with John Rocker. And, yeah.
I imagine they're going to let him do the boxing match, though, right? Because wouldn't it be income for him? But
yeah, it says he was due to make at least $85,000 for the fight. He could get more depending on the pay-per-view numbers.
Oh, man.
But can you imagine that is what you have resorted to? Your son is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, I mean.
And you have screwed up your life so badly that you need to take an $85,000 barstool rough and rowdy fight.
Look at all the legal fees that he's probably got. And I don't blame Patrick if he doesn't want to bail him out because his dad's an adult. And it's not the son's job to clean up the dad's mess. He played in Major League Baseball for 12 years.
Yeah, you know how many legal fees he's probably paying for his brother already?
Well, I don't know if he's paying those either. I mean, I get it. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, even if I have all the riches in the world, that doesn't guarantee everyone in the family just gets to mooch off me and mess their lives up.
Here's a hot take. I mean, this kind of makes me want to root for Mahomes more. This kind of makes me want the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl next year, where everybody had Chiefs fatigue and hated them. Mahomes' family is literally tearing, they're trying to tear him down. Everybody in his life. His wife's so annoying.
Well, he loves her, though, so he gets something from her.
Yeah, all right.
You know?
Their kids have the dumbest names I've ever heard of.
Oh, well, my God. That is a little
personal. Silver and Iron.
All right.
And now,
a little personal.
I didn't know that.
And his dad can't stay out of jail and is doing these things. His brother
clearly has a problem with alcohol and needs to address.
I'm just stating facts.
Yeah.
His family around him has done nothing but try to tear him down.
Brother's a creep.
Yeah,
that definitely. We saw on video.
Saw it on video. He tried to basically force himself onto this woman at a bar. And it's very complicated. That's what I'm saying. I don't blame him for not bailing out his dad. If indeed he's not, but we don't know.
At a certain point, though, don't you also? Yes, there are issues with Pat Mahomes Sr. And I hope whatever help he needs, he gets. But isn't there also an aspect of I'm paying this to avoid the headaches?
No, because then you're enabling, aren't you?
Enabling what? I mean, you're stopping him from doing something very destructive, which is him getting into a boxing ring. I mean, that's not healthy for a guy.
By the way, have you seen John Rocker?
54 years old.
Have you seen John Pat Mahomes Sr.?
John Rocker looked like he was hanging out with
Lou Ferrigno.
Cousin Yuri.
He looks like he should be in WWE. I don't know if he can fight, but
he was on the Mitchell Report.
And Pat Mahomes Sr. is like 150 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, this is not good. Like,
there's a couple rock bottoms here that are like just major red flags.
Look at you throwing a WWE move, a little play on words there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I guess I could have done that. But I don't know. It's pretty sad. And I said I thought this was actually a rare miss from Barstool. Because I think that when you do these kind of celebrity fights, you got to have a little wink and a nod. It's got to be a little twinkle in the eye, like, oh, this is actually fun. This kind of feels kind of pathetic and sad. I think we're all in agreement here.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a rare off night for Barstool on this one.
I agree. They don't usually miss much, but this one, yeah. Not it. If you want to watch Rocker and Mahomes fight, seek help.
Plenty of people will. Pat, thank you so much for that. Coming
Losers.
Up, lots more to do, including our great debate today, which is what is the sports tradition that needs to be retired? Maybe it's celebrity boxing matches. Get more after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. EJ in for Perloff this week. Perloff taking a much-deserved vacation. So it's Wednesday, which is the great debate. We do it every Wednesday, loosely based off the news. So this week is, what is the sports tradition that needs to be retired permanently? EJ went with the handshake line. Manny went with the kiss cam. Alex said the Yankees ban on facial hair. Pat Boyle said the wave. And I went with live animal mascots. We've gotten some great responses. Gatorade baths, national anthems, a little controversial. Someone said the Dodgers beach ball, they went around in the stadium.
Yeah.
I've got another one for you, but first, here's Sean, who's in Oregon. Sean, you take issue with Pat Boyle wanting to ban the wave?
Oh, well, all this stuff. I mean, it sounds like people are easily irritated.
Have you met Sean?
I've met a lot of people, and it seems like it's that way in our society right now. It's real sad, you know, because this stuff doesn't irritate me. But I want to push back a little bit because, like, some of this stuff, like beards, you know, I don't know if that's a sports tradition, but I know it's a sure sign of laziness and hygiene in a man. Poor hygiene and laziness. All my Sean, friends that have beards, I let them know that. You know, guys don't like to shave. They don't like to shave every day.
Wait, it's like the look now. This is like the look.
Bad beards. They can't even grow good facial hair. Like, if you can grow a full beard, sure, grow a beard. But, like, these guys grow these patchy beards, and, like, the NBA beards are terrible.
Who sounds irritated now? Wait, Sean, but here's the thing. This is, like, the style. Beards are very much back with the cool kids.
Sean, I feel like I should take this personally. I've rocked a beard since I was in college, and I used to get a lot of good responses to my beard.
And I have a patchy beard.
Manny says all over the place.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys, go against the grain. Don't go with these little trends. Don't be one of the trendy guys. You know, do your own thing, brother. I mean, if you want to wear it, rock your beard, your patchy beard, go ahead. I don't care. That's why it doesn't irritate me, but I think it's just not my thing.
I enjoy being a sheep.
When you talk about Bevo and the dog.
Yeah, that's mine.
You guys don't realize that triggered trauma in Bevo. You know that dogs and bulls go way back, and like back when Bevo was a little calf, he had a dog chasing him around his pen, traumatized him.
That is true.
Wait, so here's the thing, right? This is why I think live animal mascots need to be permanently banned. It's not good for it's not natural for the animal, as much as we love it, to be in an arena with 80,000 people with fireworks going off and all those people around.
And you know what the best thing about the World Series was? Is, you know, mascots are terrible, and the two teams that made it there don't have mascots. You know, New York and
that
LA,
was the best thing about it
in America. They don't have mascots.
Mascots. I think the Philly Fanatic is a great mascot. Clearly a little bias here towards Mr. Met.
Sure.
The San Diego Chicken.
How about the Presidents with Washington? That little race they do, those sausages in Milwaukee. That's
fun. Real gimmicky, you guys. Blazers didn't get a mascot until like 20 years ago, and we had the Jailblazer era. When the Blazers went off the hook and nobody was watching them, we ended up with Blaze the Trail Cat.
and that's when they
jumped the shark.
Sean, thank you for weighing in. Always entertaining. We're talking about the sports tradition.
That was quite a call.
That really ran the gamut. I've got another one for you. Okay. Another sports tradition I think that needs to be retired permanently. And that is waiting 5 years after you retire to be eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no.
Why? First of all, who came up with 5 years? It doesn't matter. If you're an elite talent, Tom Brady, LeBron James, you're walking into the Hall of Fame. Why do we need a 5-year grace period before we say, all right, now you can get in?
Because it's another milestone to your career. I think if you put retirement along with Hall of Fame, it all blends together. I think it's great for these athletes that you have your retirement, which is a lot of complicated mentally for these guys, right? Sure. A lot of these guys feel like it's like another death. But you go through, you know, they retire your jersey, they sing you off at the end, you know, you wave, and then maybe your family comes on the field or court or whatever happens, and you have that moment. And that moment is in itself. And I think you live with that for a couple of years. Then you get to your Hall of Fame where you're now removed from retirement. I think that it's another thing to your career. And in many ways, it kind of expands that life of being an athlete, which we know these guys care so much about. And, I want to celebrate some guys, you know, some years removed. I don't want to just be like, oh, okay, Tom Brady just won. All right, Hall of Fame. I want to think about him. Let me think about him again 5 years from now.
But when Tom Brady's not going anywhere. He's going to be in our lives from now till eternity. What does it matter if he gets in 3 years after he calls it quits, 4 years, 5 years? So arbitrary to me. We're talking about the sports tradition that we think needs to be retired at 855-212-4227. Coming up, talking NFL free agency with Judy Batista. Don't move.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.